You're listening to the Whack Hoops Digest Podcast with Kyle McDonald.
Hey, everybody. It is Wednesday morning. Another episode of the Whack Hoops Digest Podcast. We have GCU women's basketball head coach Molly Miller joining us today. Daryl Trujillo, the Inland Sports senior writer, is also with us. That we're going to, you know, talk to Coach Miller about her GCU loves, what, you know, the kind of the success that you're having. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love doing this stuff. It's been a little bit far and few between in COVID, not being able to go out and do luncheons or radio shows. But so this is great. So hello, everyone on the waves, and thanks for having me.
So I'll ask the first question, and Daryl's going to has a, I want to say Daryl has a bunch of questions for you. What has it been like, you know, you jumping from, what was it, the Division II ranks to now Division I and GCU that has some pretty high expectations for their basketball program? What's that been like for you?
I think that's why it was such a great match, is because I'll put probably the highest expectation on myself. I'm ultra competitive. Just ask my family, my sister, who's 2 years younger than me. We had some good battles back in the day, and now we're best of friends. But you know, that competitive nature and that competitive expectation is something I feel like I thrive on. Winning for me has always been something that the work is the reward. And so there was a lot of pressure at Drury. I mean, here we were sitting number one team in the nation, you know, the whole year last year and part of the year previous, and in the top 10 every year I'd coach there. So for me, this is just kind of the next step at the next level to have some of that success. And it was a challenge. You know, we kind of reached the pinnacle at Drury. So for this competitive gal, it was like, what's the next step and where can I make an impact, maybe even on a little bit of a bigger scale? So it was a great fit, you know, in terms of kind of the commitment to women's basketball. I really felt like the administration, from the top down, President Mueller, just the commitment they had to seeing GCU succeed, not only as a school, but as an athletics program, and then as a women's basketball program. That was just very evident from the moment that I kind of got to know them. So I thought that this would be a great match, and, you know, really, really happy to be here and experiencing something new. You know, I'd lived in Springfield my whole life, so this is definitely out of my wheelhouse, but it's been a great change, and I've really enjoyed this process so far.
I just want to point out before Daryl gets going that your Lopes team is 13-3 overall, 5-1 in WAC play. And if I remember right from when we talked on media day, you had only lost one game over the last 5 years at Drury. So, I mean, Daryl's going to focus on this a little bit too, but I thought that Molly Miller is a winner. So GCU picked up the right coach to get on that winning side.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. You know, I don't shoot one basket and I don't take one charge or get one steal. So a lot of credit goes to the kids for just buying into the process. You know, here's this coach coming in with kind of a 180 flip on the style and the brand for those returners. I mean, it's fast paced, it's full court pressure for 40 minutes. So they've done a really, really good job of just trusting me a little bit to implement something that might be a little foreign to them. And I think now that they're like, oh, this is why, you know, we practiced so hard and prepared so hard in the preseason and continued to get in shape. And I think they're enjoying those wins, and hopefully, you know, I think teams, they have to learn how to face adversity and they have to learn how to win. And that's what we're doing right now, is we're learning how to kind of handle ourselves. And especially with these back-to-back games, you know, it's a tough format. So everything's kind of a learning experience right now. And I'm really proud of our kids and our staff for kind of sticking with it and going along the ride with me.
Daryl, what do you got for us?
All right, let's go ahead and jump in here. So I want to go back to Drury. What was the toughest part about leaving? Because Drury was your alma mater. Was it maybe having to say goodbye to those kids virtually as opposed to in person? Maybe that final drive on campus to turn your keys in?
Yeah, you're making me reminisce a little bit. I mean, the absolute toughest thing was the kids. You know, I had established just really, really great relationships with them. And honestly, you kind of have to cut it off because of, you know, rules and NCAA rules. So I'm just counting down the days when they actually can graduate to where I can reestablish that relationship, because telling them virtually that, you know, this decision that I prayed about and that I thought best for my family was tough, because I didn't want them to ever feel like, you know, I was just leaving them, and this was just the next step in my career. The great thing is that I continue relationships with my players. I talked to a lot who have graduated a few years back, and that's something that I will continue to do throughout my coaching career, is just develop those relationships with my players. So I knew it wasn't like, it was one of those, it's not a goodbye, it's a talk to you later and see you later type deal. But, and then, you know, coaching at your alma mater, that's kind of a dream come true. That's where I initially started my coaching career. Everyone was really in my corner. They obviously wanted to see me succeed because they had seen me kind of grow up since I was yay big into a player there and then a coach, and they wanted to support that success. So my hometown, you know, I felt like I knew everyone and everyone knew me, and that's kind of fun. And when you're developing relationships and getting to know people. So it was definitely tough, but what made it easier, honestly, was the support that I felt from the Springfield community. And that, to me, made this move just, I knew it was the right one because I had good people in my corner that was supporting me, and they still support me from back in Missouri. So that's a great feeling to have. And, you know, when they can love you from miles and miles and miles away, I think you feel good about the mark you left there.
Absolutely. So you make the jump over to Phoenix. How hard was it to step into a new program in the middle of a pandemic? I mean, did you find yourself having to re-recruit Coach Powell's, your predecessor's existing roster? And then how hard was it to go get recruits with all the AAU stuff being shut down?
Oh, Daryl, no kidding. Like, that in itself was kind of mind-boggling. I was like a 7 a.m. to like a 1 a.m. there for the first probably month, just burning the midnight oil, figuring out what does this look like. A lot of planning, because I hadn't stepped foot on campus yet. So I had kind of three priorities from the get-go. It was like returners. So, you know, get to know these kids and let them ask me questions and get to know me. So it was definitely talking to those returners about who I am, what I'm about, what the style is going to look like, just kind of building that foundation of trust. And then it was recruiting. So, you know, the crazy thing was they had not signed an incoming class. So there was no 2020s or no, there was no one that was going to be a freshman or incoming when I got the job. So I had to, you know, look at some game film. I knew that Tiana's sister, Tierra Brown, was the defensive player of the year. And so that automatically to me was like, okay, that could fit my system. Let me see. And it really honestly took about four clips. And I'm like, this kid could play my style. So that was good that she had a sister. So that part, it wasn't like I had to give information that I didn't even really know yet about GCU too, or she kind of knew that through her sister. And then it was nice that you know, I developed such a great relationship with Katie when she went into the transfer portal, just to free up some options and see what the potential or possibilities were. That was something that after she entered the portal, I was able to kind of say, hey, I want you to be a Lope if that's what you want to do. And I still want to coach you for 4 years. So, you know, that worked out to bring those two. And then we had two grad transfers that, you know, that conversation had to be, that recruiting conversation had to go kind of on double time because, hi, here I'm new, come to Phoenix with me. I had sight unseen, just put a little trust in me. So we built that relationship, and Nadasia Jackson and then Chloe, who she tore ACL early, but she's just another great piece. She's a glue kid for us, even though she's not out on the court. So got four really quality human beings, but good basketball players also to join me sight unseen. So I'm very grateful for their trust in me and not stepping foot on campus, but coming to spend their time in a GCU uniform.
Sorry, Daryl. One question. Did Katie commit to you at Drury, or did she commit somewhere else? And then
her recruiting was all over the place. So she committed to Missouri State, and then that had a coaching change. So she opened up her options after that. Then she committed to me at Drury, coaching change, opened up her options after that. You know, she's a great player. You know, she was at kind of that time she had talked to OU, and she could have gone, you know, anywhere at that point. She was a Missouri Gatorade Player of the Year. Who's not going to take a chance on that? But the fact that she trusted me and we had developed that long recruiting relationship since she was in eighth grade, I was watching her. So she knew what she was going to get. And so that was kind of a blessing to me that I could, you know, get someone in that recruiting class and get two, at least in that freshman class, because it was pretty late in the game to try to recruit 2020s at that point.
Just how quick was the buy-in from when you first got them on the floor to your style of play, especially with, you know, limited practice time, no exhibitions and scrimmages in 2020? Just talk about how quickly they bought in and how quickly the light clicked for these players that you had to convert to your style.
Well, I love this question because preseason is basically when we started. So here you are in the summer and you get 8 hours a week with them, and then you jump into preseason where there's a little bit more strength and conditioning involved. And so the conditioning portion, they're probably like, what are we doing? Like, why are we, you know, doing so much of this cardio work? And then when we started practicing and playing the style, like, oh, okay, now I get it. Like, I'm in the best shape of my life. I was like, doesn't that feel good that you can go out there and run like an Energizer bunny? And then I really think it clicked that first game, you know, when we were allowed to kind of beat up on another team, if you will, because we were just playing each other and we were just kind of going back and forth. So that's a little bit hard because offense or defense, not both of them is going to be perfect when you're playing against each other, but when you can play against someone else and showcase your offense and showcase your defense, that really clicked. Like, we get it. We're going to wear teams down. We're going to press and get after it and trap. And then I think what even solidified it even more was we're the number one team in the nation in something, like in turnovers forced. This is kind of cool. And so there, it works. And there's kind of been that evidence as we move throughout season that this is something that you've worked for and you've worked really, really hard. And so you've earned the success. And so just those little fun things throughout the year, you know, beating good teams, sweeping teams, being number one in the nation and number two in the nation in multiple defensive categories. That's been fun for them. So now that they're seeing why, I always tell them, you'll figure out the why. I think they figured out the why now.
Okay. You guys were picked third by the coaches, sixth in the media. And at this point with, you know, 3 weeks left in the regular season, you have to feel as if expectations for this inaugural group have been completely shattered by just being in the race for the WAC regular season with a new staff, with a new regime. How big is success right out of the gate for what you want to build there in Phoenix?
Oh, absolutely. I think if they get a taste of that, then you just build on that. And then the ceiling's really, really high. In fact, you can shatter it. So for us, especially when, you know, the shakeup of COVID and there was, you know, a couple of transfers before I got here. We had Laura Piera. She was basically our only returner that was returning in the starting five. So you even take that. I think the votes were when they had kind of that core nucleus coming back. They had the freshman of the year who transferred. And then we had another all-conference player that decided not to play. So that's something we were dealing with, a whole new nucleus. And that's where I'm really proud of the success early, because there weren't a lot of experienced starters returning on this team. So we are still super young. I mean, we've got a grad senior, but we don't have a senior then. So that's exciting to me to see that we've had this success early. And as we age and mature as a team, hopefully we can just get better and better and build upon that. So it's a really exciting time. And I always think, especially for me, and I hope this rubs off on the kids, like you kind of have a chip on your shoulder, you know, when those things and preseason rankings don't mean anything, as we all know, but you have something to prove when you go out there every night, every day and practice. So I think that is a good fuel your fire, if you will, kind of carrot. And that's what we have, big goals, and our goal is to cut down nets. That's plural, and we want to do that. And I think they think they can. And that was one of the biggest hurdles. You know, we're not just going to go roll out the ball and play just because it's game time. You know, we're going to play to win and play to compete.
Daryl, I want to, before he gets to the UVU preview, I just wanted to follow up on that. You said you only have one senior. I mean, how pandemic riddled season, crazy practice times, interruptions, all kinds of stuff. How happy are you, excited that your youth have kind of just handled it well, and you just put that, I want to say, a really good product out on the basketball floor?
Yeah, what I see too is the maturity of a team every day. And that's a lot of credit to our staff too. We're always kind of explaining the why, and I kind of said that previously, but I think that's what kids miss. Like, coaches can bark out orders, but do you understand kind of the meaning behind them, or even the love behind it? You know, I coach my players up, and I think they receive that coaching because there is a support system there from a staff perspective, from our assistant coaches to our GAs, our managers are super supportive. So when you have all those things kind of melding together, it's a really, really neat environment and atmosphere. And that's the buzzword we talk about, culture. And so our culture has kind of formed based on just, we're having a lot of fun, but we're also working really, really hard. Those two things combined, it's a recipe for success. And I learned that early in my career. So we're just trying to grow as a team, and our youth is not a distraction, or it's not something that, you know, we can say is holding us back. I think these kids have done a really, really good job of just focusing on the system, focusing on each other, bringing energy every game and competing.
I just want to touch on one more question before we hit the UVU preview. Talk about the job LP has had to do, being that lone returning starter of, in a sense, maybe playing the mother role for a little bit of the year, as you know, as the kids have kind of come along and bought into what you want. Just talk about how she's done it in that role.
Yeah, her and I, man, we've had a lot of just one-on-one individual sit downs, probably the most with LP, because she's the point guard. You know, I played point guard, so we can kind of relate in that. But also when you're talking about your floor general, they have to be engaged. They have to be all in, because they're going to really be the heartbeat of the team. And, you know, it's no coincidence that she kind of is our the personality of the team. And she has a lot of respect for how hard she plays, even in practice. She's got, like, she just has a motor. She is enjoying herself, which as a coach, that's a joy to hear. And her and I have to be on the same page when she's leading traffic and directing traffic. I've challenged her because she is such a kind of an emotionally charged leader to channel that emotion in a positive way for her teammates. She's super competitive too. You know, so she's one that could get discouraged if she has a turnover or, you know, a missed shot, but we kind of have to tell her next play. And she's doing a really good job of evolving from everything, from her leadership skills to her body language on the court, to channeling that competitive energy into just hype, being a hype person for her teammates out there. So she's learning how to lead, and I'm kind of trying to mentor her in that direction that we need for her to be as a leader for our team. And she's really embracing it. And that's why I can see growth in her, and I'm really proud of her. And like you said, she's got probably the most experience on the team when it comes to contribution and minutes.
All right. So let's hit the preview of UVU for this weekend. I know this was an unexpected, you know, move up of this series by, what was it, like 3 weeks?
Yeah.
UVU presents a lot of challenges for you guys. first and foremost being Josie Williams down on the block and her matchup with Katie. How do you see that playing out? Because we know first and foremost that Utah's guards are going to have to handle your pressure, but I'm more interested in the matchup down low and what you see from Josie Williams that can challenge Katie.
Yeah, well, she's coming off, I think, a WAC player of the week. And, you know, 6'4 is a lot to handle down there, and she's a skilled player. She moves well. That's something that Katie has been constantly work on. It's just the change of pace from high school to college. As she says, it kind of hits you in the face. But Josie brings that kind of college-type physicality, body, pace. So I think it's going to be a great matchup of two very, very skilled post players. But you're right, Daryl, to that point, we're going to try to make them keep it in the backcourt a little bit more and pressure their guards. So it's hard to get in there. But we know they've got capable shooters. They've got capable inside presence. So it's going to have to be an all around defensive effort for our team, 1 through 5, whoever's on the court. So we're going to do what we normally do, rotate bodies in and out, you know, try to stay fresh on our end. We expend a lot of energy on the defensive end, and hopefully that pays dividends for us and our opponents. And as we try to wear them down a little bit, you know, we're working right now on guarding, and because we know that they're kind of an offensive force out there, especially when you have such a dominant force in the paint in Josie. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. I know Katie's up for the challenge, but you know, there's freshman nerves in there obviously too. And she works through those kind of freshman new experiences every day. Usually in high school, she was the tallest one on the court. That hasn't been the case every game, and it surely won't be the case this game, this upcoming weekend. So it'll be a good challenge for her.
And really she's this is a stretch for you guys where she's playing some of the premier post players in the Western Athletic Conference. Josie this weekend, the duo of Thomas and Harper next weekend.
Yeah, and then for our team, this is a huge road trip for us. You know, you've got the team that was voted first in the preseason poll for the WAC conference, and the team that currently is first, and they're up next. So 4 tough games for us, but you know, that's what we love. We have a saying, perfect for us. Let's go on the road and challenge ourselves and compete and go back to back to back to back with 4 of probably the toughest games that we're going to face to this point. So it'll be a good measuring stick for our team. And I think we're hungry and we're ready and we're going to prepare. But yeah, Dan's great. And he said, hey, we're both available, willing and ready. We want to move up our games just so, you know, there's a better chance we can get them in. And of course I'm like, yes, let's do it. The more games, the better. So that worked out well for us that we can move these games up this week.
I wanted to ask you,
I want to talk about,
go ahead, Daryl.
This is your group's first road trip in almost 2 months since a 3-game stretch before Christmas of Eastern Washington, Southern Utah, and Houston. It's going to be a little weird getting on a plane here either in a couple hours or tomorrow morning to fly out to Orem.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about with staff. Like, we've been really lucky. We haven't been on the road racking up too many miles so far, but you know, this team, they're kind of routine based. So hopefully we just kind of establish a road routine and that's where they get comfortable. For us, we've always talked about bringing our own energy on the road, that bench energy, the Benergy that I call it, has to be really, really good when you're on the road and you're the visiting team. So we talk about that. I think our kids are prepared. As coaches, we have to continue to keep them focused, and it's hard to, I don't care who you are and who you're playing, it's hard to win on the road. So we've got to have some confidence, but we also kind of have to have this routine that we know what makes our players comfortable, and we have to make it kind of as smooth and easy as it can be for them. And so that's what we're kind of working on now, but it's going to feel a little foreign. That's for sure. We've been lucky not to have to travel so much until February. We've got a lot of road trips on the slate.
Molly, your team's had back-to-back. I mean, from the UTRGV series, you were on SC top 10 twice, back-to-back nights. I just want to ask you as we close up here, like, do your players even think about that? And have they talked about maybe we're going to have one of these kind of highlight plays every weekend?
We don't. You know what we talk about is how many turnovers we're going to force. So that's like our key statistic. But I think what that shows, just those highlights, and even our the team kind of pumping up whoever was on SportsCenter top 10, I think that just shows a good connection and a good bond. And they're playing a little loose out there, you know, to be able to have fun and kind of make those highlight type plays. You've got to be, you can't be uptight and, you know, nervous or anxious out there. So kind of that freedom of, and our offensive system is geared towards that. It's not a lot of sets go from A to B to C. So it's a lot of freedom of movement, which kids love to play in. So they have the opportunity to make some of those big plays. You're not just going to be a screener the whole time you're in there. You're not just going to be, you know, posting up the whole time. We've got a lot of different kind of wrinkles and looks and our offensive flow. So those kind of plays are, anyone can make them at any given time. And we saw some fun ones this past week. That was really, it was fun for our kids. And, you know, we give them trouble and they're like, stop embarrassing me. And like, you're famous. But we had fun with it. It was a good week.
I recently watched it, but a Coach Carter reference, I feel like, comes to mind with the way your approach to things with your girls getting in King and then basically just beating teams up and down the floor, like, because you're more in shape than them. I just think about that first game that Coach Carter had where he said, those guys are tired because they are not in shape like us. Just go out and run. And I think that's a fun part of basketball sometimes, where it's not like set stuff, but it's just, we're going to use our strengths and beat you pretty much.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, what's funny is my maiden name was Molly Carter. So I was Coach Carter before I married Derek. So he just ruined that. Coach Carter sounds so much cooler than Coach Miller, but that's a whole nother story. But yeah, you know, I know what controllables are. And as a coach, I feel like your effort's controllable. How you run and sprint when you're tired of the other team tired, that's controllable. You know, your conditioning is controllable. So why not be really, really good at those things you can control every single night? Shooters are going to have off nights. An official might have your number the next night. Those uncontrollable things you can't really manipulate or control. So I think for us, we're going to use the defense, which you can always play great defense because that's a kind of a want to thing and an effort thing. And so that's something that's going to be consistent for us because we can control that side of the ball. So that's where they've bought into. They're like, well, I might have an off shooting night, but I can sure get after it on defense and help my team out and take a charge and rack up some steals. And that's what's been fun too, seeing TC and LP, and gosh, Tiana is kind of catching them now. They're all kind of racing to, they have a little, you know, side bet going, who's going to get more steals this game. So as a coach, when they're kind of challenging each other like that, that is healthy competition amongst the team. So that's been kind of fun as well.
Daryl, anything else for Coach Molly Miller?
No, I'm good, Kyle.
All right. Coach, appreciate you taking the time out this morning. Like I said, you may be coming up to snow in Utah this weekend, so might want to prep the team for that. That'll be fun.
We'll dig out the coats from the equipment closet, but that'll be a nice little change of scenery.
Molly Miller, head coach, GCU women's basketball team. They are, 13-3 on the season, 5-1 conference play, big series at Utah Valley this weekend. Again, Coach, thanks for taking the time today, and safe travels this weekend.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Have a good one.